somebody's neck, shake their hand, give them a high five, and you can be seated this morning. Man, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, thanks for coming. Thanks for choosing to worship with Bethel this morning. We're excited to be here. How many were here last Sunday? Can I hear a good amen? How about Pastor Cole tearing it up last Sunday? Yeah. First time on a Sunday morning to preach multiple services, and so we're excited about him and his family and what the Lord's doing for him. Give you just a little bit of update. How about that building out front? Come on, y'all. It's going up. It's going up good. Hopefully, keep praying. Hopefully, if everything goes just exactly right, we'll be having Christmas service in there this year. And so it's gonna take everybody praying. It's going to take everything lining up just right. And so, but we're excited about that. Just to keep you informed, to keep you up to date, we have about 30 to 35 people in Guthrie, Texas, that call Bethel Assembly their home. They love Bethel. They want to worship at Bethel. It's a long drive. But those people, what they've been doing over the last several months is they've been gathering on Sunday mornings in different houses in Guthrie. And they've been watching the Bethel live stream. They've been worshiping with us from afar. And so we just felt like, you know what? We love Guthrie. We're from Guthrie. We lived in Guthrie. We love those people. And so we've been going a couple of times a month on Thursday nights to Guthrie. And we've been doing church, Connor and the worship team and the college kids and my kids and everybody going and worshiping. And I'm telling you something, y'all. The Lord is moving in Guthrie, Texas. There's a population of about 200 in Guthrie, and about 100 of them were gathered to worship God last Thursday night over there. So you know what? It's just cool, man. It's so cool. And so want to tell you that, want to inform you of that, so that you can be praying with us, man. I mean, you know, God is moving in our country. In spite of everything that's going on, God is moving in rural America. So just want you to be informed, man. We got so much going on, new building, new church, Guthrie, everything. It's so awesome, and it's so good, and I'm glad that you are a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of it myself. So last week, Cole preached. I'm going to pick up today where I left off a couple of weeks ago in 1 Peter. You can get your Bible, you can get your phone out, get your iPad, whatever you read the Word of God on. We're going to be in 1 Peter. The last time that I preached, we discussed the mercy of God, how the mercy of God is so great, how the grace of God is powerful, but the mercy of God is powerful as well. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. We didn't deserve his only begotten son. We did not deserve redemption and forgiveness, but God gave it to us anyway. Mercy is this, when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. How many of you know you deserve to be tortured? Come on, somebody. But God doesn't do that because God loves us and his mercies are new every morning. And God caused us to be born again. Everything that God did, he sent his son. And you and I can be born again. And you and I can be adopted in the family of God. And you and I can be a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you and I can have hope. And it's not anything that we did, but it's everything that the grace of God did. And so I want you to know something today before we get started, before I read any scripture to you. I want you to know that is God's heart towards you. God is a good God and God is a good Father. And his heart towards you and his heart towards me is this. He wants to pour out his mercy and he wants to encourage you and he wants to bless you and he wants to take you to the next level. Can I tell you something? Look at me. Look. No matter where you come from, no matter what kind of situation, whether you're living in the church or you're living in the pig pen, I want you to know something today. I want you to hear me. God is for you. God is not against you. Maybe you made some mistakes. Maybe God is against some choices that you made. Maybe you lived and made some decisions that go against the will of God. But the heart of God is for you. God wants to bless you. You're a child of God. You're created in his image. And God wants to raise you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay. And if you and I can just begin to understand that, God is for me. Because sometimes we feel like God's against me. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we let the devil lie to us. Sometimes we let our flesh lie to us. Sometimes we let other people lie to us, and we feel like we're that little bastard child that nobody loves and that God is against. But I'm going to tell you, according to the Word of God, God is for you. And God has great and mighty things for you. If our heart is turned towards God, if we repent of our selfishness, if we repent of our old ways, and we begin to have a heart that beats for God and for the things of God, when we have a heart for God and God has a heart for us, boom, that is an equation that will bring the miraculous in our lives. Let me read you some scripture. Psalm 56:9 says, "Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, God is for me." God is for me. God is for me. God is for you. God is rooting for you. God has great and mighty plans for you. Psalm 118, verse number 6 says this, "The Lord is on my side." Come on, somebody. Y'all got to help me out this morning. Like God's on your side, Bart. I mean, really? Like God's on your side, Riley. Like God the Creator, Sheila, He is on your side. Nathan, God is on your side. God is a warrior. God is victorious. He has never lost a battle. He has defeated death, hell, Satan, and the grave. And He is on my side. And He is on your side today. I wish you could. Oh, the Lord is on my side. Romans 8:31. What shall we say then? If God be for me, who shall be against me? If God is for me and God is for you, who shall stand against us? I just want you to know today, God is for you. God is rooting for you. And if you will turn your heart and incline your heart and your mind towards the things of God, He will take you places that you never dreamed you could go. He will do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or think. You know what? You just need to change your attitude. No more poor, pitiful me. No more God is against me. No more I'm in this by myself. But if you can just change your mind and say, God is for me. He's for your marriage. Come on, somebody. He's for your children. He's for your y'all ain't helping me out this morning. I'm going on. God has poured out His mercy. He has caused us to be born again so that we can live a life full of hope. And all the while, here's where we are in the scripture. If you're a timekeeper, start right now. 1 Peter 1:5-7. 1 Peter 1:5-7. Who by God's power we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this we rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, we have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of our faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You and I, who God has poured out His mercy to. You and I, who God has caused us to be born again and new believers in Christ Jesus, the scripture says He is guarding you and I. He's guarding us. We are guarded by God's power. I want you to understand this today. You are being guarded right now. Do you know there is a spiritual war out there, and the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy you, your mindset, your health, your marriage, your children, our country, this church? The enemy is trying to destroy, but guess what? God is guarding you and me. I've preached at several churches in several different states, and one particular church sticks out to me. When I went to this church, they had this security team. And when I went to this church pre-service, we went to the back and we met with these guys, and they said everybody that has this certain cord around their neck, their security, and this guy, he is going to be your security guard today. And he was a USMC, United States Marine Corps veteran, y'all. And he was guarding me at this place. And everywhere that I went throughout that church service, he was right there with me. He sat right there. as I preached. And he said, if anything goes wrong, I'm coming to get you, and we're going out this door. You are guarded. We are going to protect you. They had multiple services at that church, and between services, I went to the coffee bar to greet everybody, and he stood right there by me, shoulder to shoulder. He was guarding me, and he was keeping me. And I'm just telling you, it made me feel a little bit confident. It made me feel good like nobody. I was like, MC Hammer, baby, you can't touch this right here. It made me feel good. It made me feel strong. It made me feel confident. But more than a man or a woman or a United States Marine Corps veteran guarding me, you and I have to understand that the God of angel armies is watching over us. He began a good work in us, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And wherever I go, God is guarding over me, and God is guarding over you. I don't know about you, but that's good news, man. God guards over us. The enemy wants to take us out because even the enemy knows the plans and the greatness that God has prepared for you and I. We get so worried, we get so caught up, and we listen to the lies of the enemy, and we're full of fear, and we're full of worry, and we're full of anxiety, and we're full of doubt. God guards us and protects us. I want you to see this and hear this today. God will guard you and keep you. God will guard me and keep me until his plans and his purposes are fulfilled in our lives. Psalm 57:2. The psalmist says this. Psalm 57:2 says this. I cry out to God the Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose in me. How many of you have a purpose in God? You have a purpose, and it's more than a job, and it's more than working, and it's more than making money. You are created in the image of God, and God has a purpose and a plan for you to shine the light and to change the world where you live. And you know what? Nobody but you can stop the purposes and plans of God from coming to pass in your life. God will fulfill the purposes. I love this confidence. Psalm 138:8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. Confidence. God will fulfill his purpose in me. Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this. I love what Paul says. I'm sure of this. No questions. He who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask him, has the Lord started a good work in you? Come on, somebody. Like me, like the generational curse, broken. Come on, somebody. Not because of Cody, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My kids, they're different than me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of the grace, because of the mercy, my kids are going to go to the next level. Like, God saved me, God changed me, God cleansed me, God made me a new creation, God gave me the promise of eternal life, God filled me with the Holy Spirit, God put a calling on my life to be a preacher and to be a world changer, God called me to drive back the darkness, God called me to destroy Satan, God has started a good work in Cody Cochran. I don't know about you, maybe you can't get excited about it, but by God, I get excited about what God has done in my life. And for 20-something years, God has just begun to elevate and be changed and keep doing. And I love what God's doing right here. And I love that building out there. And I love the lives that are going to be changed. And I love Sweetwater. And I love Stanford. And I love Albany. And I love Guthrie. But that don't amount to a hill of beans of what God has planned for my life, for his purposes. And ain't no devil in hell going to stop the purposes and plans of God from coming to pass in my life. You got to understand for you. You can't just celebrate. Can I preach to y'all? You can't just celebrate for me. You got to accept it in your own life. You got to understand, church. God's got plans for you. God has purposes for you. And you got to accept it, and you got to embrace it, and you got to believe it, and you got to walk in it, and you got to renew your mind. Because I'm telling you, God is not done with you and me. God will accomplish his purpose and his plans and his will in my life and in yours as long as we continue to turn our hearts towards him. And those plans are crazy. God will accomplish it. Verse 6 says this, in that, in the fact, God's going to bring his plans to fruition in my life. In the fact, I've been born again. In light of all that, I'm going to rejoice in God. There is power in rejoicing, y'all. And I love to preach about rejoicing. I love to preach about joy because I'm just telling you, you and I need to get the joy of the Lord back in our life. We need to learn to rejoice. Can I be real with y'all? We're so pitiful and we're so whiny-hiny and we're so negative and we're so pessimistic. Most of the conversations that I have in my life, people are whining and moaning and complaining and, oh, I got that poor pitiful me attitude and this is just not right and I just don't deserve this. Can I tell you there's power in rejoicing? You and I have more to rejoice for than we do have to complain about. Come on, somebody. And you know what? There's power. You got to learn to rejoice. Paul says, you know what? Peter's writing this book. Peter will lose his life for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the middle of persecution, Peter says, you know what? Praise God, I'm saved. Praise God's going to work out his plans in my life. And you know what? Peter said, I'm going to rejoice. And it'd do you some good and me some good if we learn to rejoice. Rejoice in the mundane. Come on, somebody. Rejoice in the job that wears me out. Rejoice in the spouse that's driving me nuts. Rejoice in the kids that are making me want to pull my hair. Rejoice. If we would just learn to rejoice, it'll change your attitude. It will change your demeanor. It will change everything in your life. To rejoice, to be glad, to take delight, to make joyful. We choose to rejoice. Now listen, let's be real. We understand we're saved. We understand God is for us. We understand his purposes and plans, and we choose to rejoice. That does not mean that we won't face difficulty and trials. But how many of you know? It's how we face difficulties and trials that matter in life. It's how we face them. It's how we stand up to struggles. It's how we stand up to pain. It's how we stand up to depression. It's how we stand up to disappointment. That's what matters in life. When trials hit, yes, we're grieved. Can I hear an amen? But in grief, we can choose to rejoice. Let's talk about grief. Can we talk about grief for a minute? Grief means this mental suffering. Grief means distress over affliction or things going not our way. Grief, how many struggle with grief? You know what causes grief? Death. Somebody dies, causes grief. Divorce causes grief. Separation, it causes grief. Financial struggles cause grief. Change. So many of us don't like change. And when we enter into a new season, when we enter into empty nester syndrome, these things cause grief, sickness. Somebody in our life gets ill or they're hurting and we get this grief and we look at the state of the world and we're consumed with the state of this world and it brings grief and we have self-doubt and we have sinful lifestyle brings grief. And so many things bring grief. Grief. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a season for everything and there's a season for grief. And you know what we got to do? We have to learn to deal with grief in a healthy way. Because if not, it will take you down to the darkness. To be grieved is to be distressed mentally. Can we talk about mental stuff today? There's a lot of talk in our world going on about mental health right now. Mental health. Mental health is a big issue. And I want to tell you something about it. If you struggle with mental health, I want to tell you something today. I'm not against meds. I'm not against counselors. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against self-help. I'm not against psychologists. I'm not against alternative treatment. But I want to tell you, me as a born-again believer and a believer in the Word of God, my go-to and my number one recommendation for myself and for my family and for each of you here today is if you're struggling with mental health, learn to rejoice in the Lord because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Learn to rejoice in the things that God is doing in your life and the purposes and the plans that God has for you. And if we can learn that, it will drive away every bit of grief. Because the answer to our grief, maybe it's a physical grief, but I'm going to tell you that maybe it's a mental grief, but can I tell you the answer to grief is spiritual, and it's the Spirit of the living God coming into our lives. Learning to rejoice. I get it. I realize it's hard. I realize it's tough because there's times we don't feel like rejoicing. Can I hear a good amen? I realize it's hard, but I realize also it's possible as well. My family and my people close to me get so sick of hearing me suck it up and be strong-minded. Suck it up and rejoice in God. Suck it up and praise God, because there's a spiritual aspect to that. A good perspective of God, a good perspective of God's nature, along with learning to rejoice in the middle of trials, will drive away our mental struggles. It's the truth. It is the way it is. And then we go this. You know what Peter said? Peter said, rejoice. Peter said, God's guarding you. God's guarding you. Peter says, rejoice. And he says, because sometimes you're going to face some fiery trials. You're going to face some struggles. Can I tell you that the testing of our faith, the testing of the genuineness of our faith, the struggles that we go through, all they are is that are a test. And how many remember back when you were in school, when you pass a test at the end of the year, you graduate to the next level. And many of us are facing some fiery trials, and many of us are facing some struggles right now. And it is a test of the genuineness of our faith. And if we'll pass the test, God will graduate us and take us to the next level. Learn to see through the eyes of the Spirit. James 1, 2 through 4 says this. James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness when it has its full effect, that you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We're going to all have to go through some fires. How you face those fires, the attitude you have is what matters. Because how many know things come out of the fire more pure, and they come out of the fire greater than they went into the fire, because it burns away the impurities. Peter says this, God's going to guard you. God's purposes are coming to pass in your life. Learn to rejoice when struggles and when trials happen. And then Peter says this in 1 Peter 13, and I'll wind down with this. Knowing all these things, 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, prepare your mind for action. Prepare your mind for action and be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? If you don't take anything else away from here today, take away this. God is for you. But second thing is this. Take away. Prepare your mind for action. Prepare your minds. Prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Because how many of you know you can be drunk on things other than alcohol? You can be drunk on drama. You can be drunk on self-pity. You can be drunk on sorrow. You can be drunk on loss. You can be drunk on feeling sorry for yourself. You can be drunk on playing the victim. And we just get drunk, and we do not sober-minded, and we're just so overcome, and we're so. And Peter says, you know what? Let me remind you, God is for you, and God's purposes are going to come to plan to pass in your life, and God is going to guard you. So stop whining. Learn to rejoice. Prepare your mind for action. This is not going to be easy. It's going to be a fight. Prepare your minds for action. Prepare your mind for action. Prepare to do work. How many, when you join the kingdom of God thing, it didn't mean it was going to be a life of ease. It means you're going to have to work. Prepare your mind. If you want the plans of God to come to pass, you gotta work. You gotta fight. You gotta strain. Prepare your mind to overcome. Prepare your mind. How many know the battle is in our minds? Prepare your mind to work. Luke 12:35 says this: stay dressed and stay ready for action, and keep your lamps burning. Look at me. Wake up. Look at me. Look. Wake your butt up spiritually and prepare your mind to fight against the devil. The devil is not going to sleep. The devil is not going to give up. You can't attend church enough that the enemy will leave you alone. You can't put enough money in the plate that the devil is going to stop. You can't pray long enough that the enemy is going to quit pursuing you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And quit thinking that it's going to be a life of ease. And quit thinking that it's going to be comfortable. And quit thinking that there is an easy button. We are in an all-out war and a battle. And can I tell you something? Prepare your mind for action. To fight for your soul, to fight for your mental clarity, to fight for your marriage, to fight for your kids, to fight for your nation. We got to come back and say, I'm willing to give it all and prepare our minds for action. And I'm just, geez Louise, can I tell you what I think? That's what's wrong with the church in America. We're lazy, fat, sassy, panty-waisted, pussyfoot little folks who want it all handed to us on a silver platter, and our minds are not prepared for action. Our mind is prepared for what is comfortable, and our mind is prepared for what can the church give to me, and our mind is prepared to ride the coattail of the previous generations. And if we want to see God move in our life and our country, we got to prepare our minds to fight, and we got to fight the good fight of faith. Peter said, prepare your minds for action. First Peter said again in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober minded. Can I just challenge you something? Like, is there something in your mind that's got you in your life that has you intoxicated? And you're so drunk over loss or pain or hurt. I mean, like, how many been around somebody that you can't understand what they're saying and they can't even walk straight because they're drunk on alcohol? But some of you, you're drunk on pity, and you're drunk on anger, and you're drunk on resentment, and you're drunk on feeling sorry for yourself, and you're drunk on playing the victim. Nobody can understand. You're not making sense, and you can't function. Be sober-minded. Renew your mind. Focus on Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, and I'm going to quit in a minute. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The only reason that a person would put on the breastplate of faith and love, and the only reason a person would put on a helmet, is because they are preparing their mind for battle and action. Be prepared. Can I tell you? By failing to prepare, we are preparing to fail. By failing to prepare for action, we are preparing to fail. I want you to know this today. Conrad, y'all come help me close. Please, sir. God's for you. God's for you. I'm for you, but more than me, God's for you. God is for you. He loves you. He wants to elevate you. He wants to take you to the next level. God has plans and purposes. Look at me. I know she's cuter than me, but look at me. I ain't done yet. How many know God is good? Can I hear an amen? How many of you would say today, God has done way more in my life than I ever dreamt he could do? But see, God ain't done. Like, your eyes have never seen. I've seen some good things the Lord has done. Your eyes have never seen. I've heard some good things that God's done, but our ears haven't heard. Neither has entered into our mind the things God has prepared for those that love him, to those that are called according to his purpose. Like, God has great stuff for you and me, for my kids, for this church, for this country. And he will accomplish his plans and purposes if we just stay the course. Do you realize your ex-spouse can't stop the plans of God in your life? Do you realize the devil can't stop the plans of God in your life? Do you realize there's only one person that can stop the plans of God in your life, and it's you and it's me? And if we just go, God, here I am. And I ain't perfect. and I get frustrated, and God, I got some things I'm still working on because I'm still living in this sinful flesh, but God, I realize you brought me from a long way. And right now, my heart wants to be grieving, and my heart wants to be, my mind wants to be a little bit drunk, but no, you know what? God, I'm going to rejoice in you. Because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have my marriage, and I wouldn't have my kids, and I wouldn't be pastoring. God, I'm just going to rejoice, and I'm just going to praise you, God, and I'm going to prepare my mind for action. And devil, you know what? If nothing else, I will send you back home bruised and bleeding, and you'll know that you've been in a fight. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm going to fight, and I'm going to struggle, and I'm going to strain forward. I'm going to forget those things that are behind, because I believe you, God. And God, I'll give you everything that I've got. And God, I'll give you all of my passion. And God, I'll serve you with everything I've got. And if you and I will make that decision and prepare our minds for action, God will blow you away at what he can do in your life. You've got to load your mind up today. Are you listening to me? Can I hear you say a good amen? Anything that's in your mind that says you're not good enough, anything that is in your mind that says you're a failure, that it's not going to work, that God is against you, that the enemy has won, anything that is in your mind that is not of God, you have the power to capture that thought and cast it out of your mind in the name of Jesus Christ. And then you need to start preloading your mind with the Word of God. God is for me. Start telling yourself, if God be for me, who shall be against me? God is going to carry out his work. God started a good work in me. See, I recently got a new computer. And how many know, they'll make you shout 1 minute and cuss the next minute. Come on, somebody. But it didn't come preloaded with some things that I need. I need my Bible app on there. It's where I do my studies. I needed my contacts loaded on there. I need Word loaded on there. I need all these things. And so I got this new computer, and I began to load the things into the computer that I need that would help me and would advance me. It's the same way with our minds. When we cast out the negativity, and we cast out the anger, and we cast out the unforgiveness, and we cast out the doubt, and when we cast out the fear, when we cast all that out, we have to go back and preload our minds with the things that will advance us and take us to the next level. Preload your mind today with the Word of God and with what Peter has said to us. Renew your mind right now. Load your mind up with the ever-living, ever-breathing, powerful Word of the Almighty God, and it will change everything. Y'all stand on your feet. I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll close today. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your Word, God. Your Word is so strong, and your Word is so powerful. Today, God, let us understand that you're for us. Let us renew our minds. Let us no longer play the victim. Renew our minds. Let us no longer feel sorry for ourselves or play this pitiful game. No, we're created in your image. And before we were in our mother's womb, you formed us and you had plans for us. Maybe those plans have faltered. Maybe those plans have failed. But God, our failures and our faults don't stop you from being God, and doesn't stop your plans in our life. So let us renew our mind right now. Let us repent of our sins. Let us come running to you, and let us no longer be drunk, but let us be sober-minded with our eyes fixed on you, knowing that you're good and you got plans for us, and you're guarding us and you're keeping us and you're protecting us. Lord, give us the spirit of rejoicing in this place. Let us stop focusing and whining on what's not perfect. Let us stop whining and griping and complaining about what we wish could be, and let us rejoice in the blessings we have. Let us learn to rejoice in you. Let Let us look forward with anticipation and excitement to the future that you have for each one of us. Let hope arise. We love you, God. Speak to us. Let us leave your chains today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's sing like we love the Lord today.